It's a long amud. Okay, we're beginning tonight with Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We're just to just review very quickly the bottom of Yud Bet Amud Bet. We're talking about what's Ikar and what's Tafel. Talking about how in the future redemption, you know, we're going to, you know, Egypt, the Gula from Egypt, will almost seem meaningless. And compared to it, also the change in name. So if you take a look, Kayotzeba ata omer lo yikra shimcha od Yaakov ki Yisrael yashmecha. So too, just like with Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael. Let's begin your Gimel Amud Aleph at the top. Loshe Yaakov, come on. Now that we're going to totally uproot Yaakov, that Yaakov's name will never, ever, ever referred to as Yaakov. Eli Yisrael Ikar, Yaakov Tafel. But rather, Yaakov is on Ikar, and Yaakov, the name Yaakov will be Tafel. Vechenu Omer, and similar, this is what we're referring to. Altizkru Bishonot Vekadmoniot, Altidbonenu. Altizkru Bishonot, Zeshebud Malchiot. We're not going to mention the first Rishonot. We're not going to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Vekadmoniot, Altidbonenu. Sorry, I apologize. Go back again. Altizkru Rishonot, Zeshebud Malchiot. Vekadmoniot, Altidbonenu, Zo Yitziat Mitzrayim. So again, here we're talking about a situation where we're not, we're not going to mention the Rishonot as much, and the Kadmoniot is something that happened, you know, a long, long time ago that we're not even going to think about for too long. So again, the concept of Shebud Malchiot, when we talk about the nations of the world, they are going to be, all basically subsumed under one entity. That's what's going to be the essence, as opposed to what happened so long ago, the original Geula, Geula of Mitzrayim, that will be tafel, that will be secondary compared to the Shibud Malchiot, which is going to happen, hopefully, very, very soon. Hinei Oseh Chadasha, Ata Tatzmiach. And this is the Pasuk, Hinei Oseh Chadasha, the new, Ata Tatzmiach, the new will sprout. The new sprouts, the old, shall we say, will be forgotten. Again, I think one way of, you know, if you want to talk about what does this mean, so it's the, you know, sometimes what the Shibud Mitzrayim is not going to be important at all, but the modern Geula will be way more powerful, way more important, way more miraculous even than the what happened previously. Tan Rav Yosef, Zomuchim Gog Magog. This is referring to, according to Rav Yosef, this, what's this chadash, what's this new? That's referring to the war of Gog Magog. Mashal Devar Dome, what's this compared to? Adam Shreya Mahalech Paderech Upagubo Zev. A guy who was traveling and he encountered a Zev, a wolf. Venizomenu, and he survived. We have Mesaper Vholach Maise Zev. You go around telling people, guys, I would just say you should have seen what happened. It was a miracle how the wolf was about to attack me, and then I would say, Pagubo Ari. Then later on, it's talking about Ari, the king of the jungle, the lion, the Nitzal Mimenu. And he started talking about he was saved from a lion. He didn't mention the Zev, because he was so focused on the Ari, which was so much more of, not only was more recent, but it was a greater miracle that he was saved from it. Hagabo Nachash, he encountered a snake. Nitzal Mimenu, Shachach, Maise, Shnehem. Nachash. It's clear, by the way, in terms of, take a look at Gemara and Baba Kama, talks about coming a Nachash was considered the most dangerous animal. We don't usually associate the Nachash with the most dangerous. In those days, they did. They didn't have the same, you know, a venomous type of snake. They didn't have the same vaccines that we had today. You were, bitten by a snake. I guess it was quite dangerous. Masha Inkin today, I'm not saying I would encourage people to be bitten by a snake. It might not be the same type of trepidation and fear. But again, what we see from here, it's not that you forget about the Ze'ev and the Ari. But the Nachash is what you remember, you know. Lahavdil, you know, we talk about the Holocaust, right? So that's what we talk about. We don't talk about the Inquisition. We don't talk about, I mean, we do, but yeah, Tisha B'Av mentioned it, but really, again, it's what was most recent is what we kind of focus on. And that's perhaps what they're talking about in this case. So again, the not that Mitzrayim will be totally uprooted, but when we talk it down. Af kach Yisrael, tzarat achroniyot, mishkachot et arishonot. That, the latest is what you're going to remember. You're not going to necessarily remember what happened so long ago. Let's continue. Avram, who? Avram. It says in Divrei Yamim that Avram, whose name was changed to Avram. That's coming up very soon in the Parsha Shavua. Mitzchila nasa av la'aram. At the beginning, he was just Av Ram. He was Av for Aram, the father of Mesopotamia, Basav. Now it's the Av Lekol Ha'olam Kulo. He became an Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim. And then he became the father of many, many different nations. By the way, there's an interesting, interesting idea here. It's a machlokas. If a non-Jew brings Bikurim, can he recite Arameo Vedavri? Most opinions say he cannot, because he's a convert. The Rambam says he can. Why? Avraham is an Av Hamon Goyim. Mr. Convert, Chris, who became Judah, now he's Jewish. So he always can say, what? I came from the Av Hamon Goyim. Why not? You can speak about him with Avraham. So interesting, there might be some practical halachic significance here. Sarai, he's Sarah. Again, Sarai, now she's Sarah. B'tchila naseh Sarai lumata. She was a minister, right? She minister for her nation. Basof naseh Sarah lekoim kulo. Afterwards, she was the minister, not just of one small little country, the United Nations, but she became the minister for the entire world. Tanya bar Kapara, kol hakore la'avraham avram over ba'asai. Look at this. By the way, this is not brought down. At least I couldn't find it. Anywhere in Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam. So I'm not exactly so sure what this is referring to. But the Gemara says that if a person calls Avraham Avram, he transgressed a positive commandment. How do we know this? Because it says, Shenemar Vayashimcha Avraham. So obviously it can't mean that, right? There's no way it can mean that. So when it says over an essay, you're going to tell me this is an essay. It's very hard to imagine this is a real essay. So it's, I didn't look into it that much, but I saw this, I was like shocked out of my mind. Like, what do you mean? Take a look. There's no gimel, there's no bays, you know? So there's a little star there, an asterisk, so let's just tell you somewhere else, but there's no, it's not in Mishpat or in Mishpat or in Mitzvah anywhere. But nonetheless, Rabbi Lazar Meir, over beloved Shneamar, so his opinion is, he's over in a transgressed a positive. This is even more severe. Transgressed a love, as it says, V'loi kara'od et shimcha Avram. Ela ma'ata hakora l'sarai sarai. Wait a second, if that's true, what about Sarai and Sarai, right? What about the same thing? Hakora l'sarai sarai, achinami. Perhaps, yes, in achinami. Maybe also if you call Sarai sarai, maybe also you could transgress in a say or not. However, Hatam Kuja Bericha Mal Avraham Sarai Ishtachalotikara et Shema Sarai Ki Sarah Shema. Maybe, you know, you want to learn it from here. You want to learn it from the fact that, look, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe by Avraham, Havmira was to say, maybe it is like Avraham Sarah Sarai. The answer is maybe not, because it's stated a little bit differently in the Torah. By the Torah, it says God told Avraham, Sarai, your wife isn't her name, it's really Sarah. As opposed to when God says, which is a little bit more of a formidable statement, a little bit more of a powerful statement, as opposed to Sarai, Sarai, which is just like, oh, we'll change your name. So therefore, maybe perhaps you don't transgress, and that appears to be the conclusion, when transgress or not fulfilled by Sarah and Sarai. Hakor Yaakov, Yaakov. Maybe, what about? Same idea, by Yaakov, maybe too. You can't call him Yaakov, call him Yisrael. No. Echinami. Shani. Different. Why? Da hatam, da hadar, hadade kara. Because later on, dichtiv, it says in the Torah, v'yomer lokim Yisrael, barot alayla, v'yomer Yaakov. Yaakov, what are you talking about? The Torah itself sometimes still refers to Yaakov, Yaakov. We don't see the Torah exclusively using the word Yisrael. Mashekin Avraham. Once Avraham's name is changed, when Sarah's name is changed, no longer mentions Avraham, no mentions Sarah. Sarai, Mashen Kain, Yaakov still will revert back to Yaakov and not just to Yisrael. So the Torah itself says you're still allowed to call him Yaakov. Meiti Rav Yosef Bar Avin, Vitema Rav Yosef Bar Zvida, they're going to bring a potential challenge. We see this in davening. Atahu Hashem Elohim, Shebacharta be'Avram. In Nechemia, Nechemia uses the word Avram. How bad could it be? Nechemia does it. So wait a second. You really over? You really transgressing? What are you talking about? Nechemia calls him Avram? No. Not a good proof. Why? Amar lehatam Navihu. There's a Navi. Nechemia is calling Avram. Dekam esarda l'shvached rachmana ma'idahav mikara. There he's praising. He's saying that Shebacharta be'Avram. You chose Avram. Even before, And very good. Then they later called him Avraham. So it's kind of like, it's Shevach that God chose Avraham, and that Avraham chose God, right? And therefore, it's not like I'm calling him that title. It's just a Shevach, and therefore, I'm not referring to him by its proper name. Therefore, it's permissible, as opposed to, it really is problematic to call Avraham, Avraham, Avraham. All right, this is a big deal. If you take a look, maybe, you know, just the last Rashi, before we move on to the next Perek, the Mikara Shebacharta Bo Biyot Shemo Avraham, the Santa Shemo Avraham. Again, it's talking about the praise in Shevach, and therefore it is permissible. Hadron, Allah Mematai, will return to you, Perek Mematai, the big deal. We finished our first Perek of Amud Yomi. Big deal today. We have yet those who have to fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps. Let's begin the second Perek. What was that? I know. Be'ezrat Hashem, the OU will put everything up online very soon. Let's begin. New Mishnah, not such a new topic. Ha'kareba Torah, a person is reading Torah. V'gizman ha'mikra, and he says, oh my goodness, it's time to say Shema. Im kiven libo yata. If a person has kavana, then you're yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Exactly what this is referring to, we are going to have to explain in great detail a little bit later on, but we need our Gemara for that. Let's continue. Now, this is something which is not very practical halachically, but it's a fascinating concept. Shoel mipnei, baprakim. If you're in the middle of the prakim, you're in the middle of the prakim in Shema, shoel mipnei hakavod. You would be allowed to shoel. You could ask somebody. Right, take a look at Rashi. Shoel b'shalom, Adam nichbad sheroy lahaktim lo shalom. You know, saying Shema, you'd be allowed to. Your person that requires you to honor, you'd be allowed to speak and say shalom to them. Umeshiv, and you'd be allowed to respond. Ube'emtza, if you're in the middle of the prakim, shoel mipnei hayira. You'd be allowed to inquire someone who you're obligated to fear, umeshiv, and you'd be allowed to respond, divrei Rebbe Meir. Let's go to Rashi for a second. He's going to help us out here with a few words that are missing. So what are baprakim? Bein hafsakot, in between the prakim. So when they are, we'll get to in a minute. L'karam ha'farish le'mahnitin bein parshu v'shonan l'shneya ben shenya l'shemoa. Shom b'nei ha'kavod. Adam shalom umeshiv shalom im hakdimolo. Person says shalom aleichem to you. For certain people, you should respond to, or maybe you should respond to anybody in the certain situations. What about uba emsa? What about if you're in the middle? The emsa habracha or haparsha. If it's mipnei hayira, so what does it mean mipnei yira? Rashi, adam shehu yara mipanav, a person that you fear from. Shelo yargehu, aval mibnei hakavod lo, but just for honor, not so. So what does this mean, mipnei hayira? Who are you obligated to fear? So it's very strange, because you know you're obligated to fear? You're also your parents, no? But first of all, let's assume, get God, because not God's going to disturb you. Let's say you fear. What is it referring to? First of all, if it's someone that's going to kill you, I don't need this Mishnah. What's that called? Pikuach Nefesh. So it can't mean, the Rashash says, it doesn't mean that it's referring to someone who's going to kill you, because it's Pikuach Nefesh. Now, what Rashi here means, it's someone who has the ability to kill you. Meaning, a parent, authority figure, a parent can kill you. They have the, I'm not saying they would, they have an ability to kill you. That's what Rashi is referring to. It can't mean, mamesh, that there's a gun to your head. Right? What? The thing is, a king also has the ability to kill you. Not because, so it can't be because nefesh, because of course you could be mafsik for it. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that.
I mean, do your parents fall into that category?
Again, your parents have an ability to kill you. They're your authority. That's what Rashi here is trying, is according to Rashash, that's what he means to say. That they have the ability to kill you, not that they have a gun to your head and they're about to kill you. Because gun to your head, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me to be mafsik someone. Meshiv divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be'emsa, shoel mipnei hayira. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're in the middle, you could shoel, how's someone doing? if you have to fear them, and meshiv, you could respond if you're obligated to give them kavod. Oh, but prakim, in the, between the paragraphs, shalom le'akavod, umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. And he holds that if it's in between the paragraphs, you can respond to anybody whatsoever, not about fear, not about kavod, not at all. So, what exactly are the in-between? What do these mean, ben aprakim? Eluhen ben aprakim, and bracha rishon alishniya, in between yotzer hamaorot and hava rabba. Bracha rishon alishniya, ben shniya le shema, or between the second bracha to shema. Ben shema le vayam shema, ben vayam shema le vayomer, ben vayomer le emes v'yatziv. Rabbi Yeromer, ben vayomer le emes v'yatziv lo yafzik. Machlokas, is emet v'yatziv part of ani Hashem lokechem emes? Or, in which case you're not allowed to mafzik, or no, Hashem lokechem, that's the end of the pasuk, and you'll be allowed to interrupt, and you say the word emes. We hold the halacha, of course, you can't interrupt between saying the word emes and Shema. The reason is, by the way, another reason why, because we hold that, that is not allowed to. First of all, as I said before, we don't hold by this anymore. A parent, a king, all things don't really apply in today's world. You can't be makdim shom to chol adam anymore. It's just that we live in a different world. To understand your davening is a little bit different in those days. That's all the Achronim basically mentioned that. And you cannot be mafzik ani Hashem lokechem to the word MS. As you see, we don't do it today in shul. We even put them together in shul. And the reason is because the concept of geula of Mitzrayim ani Asher Seitrim Mitzrayim Yosuchem Elokim ani Yosuchem MS v'mina is a continuation of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? MS v'yatziv nacham v'kam v'yashlanim ha'uver nechmar v'nim. It's talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's part of the geula. Therefore, since it's part of the geula richta, it's part of the fulfillment of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Zechir Yitzhak Mitzrayim, either day or at night, which case you should not be mafzik. Okay. By the way, talking about mafzik, for sure you can't talk. Right? That's a given. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, lama kadma parshas shema levayam shema. Why is it that shema comes before Vayam Shemoa? Now, at first glance, you think that's not a very good question. I'll give you an example. Let's say you... what comes first in the Torah? Shema, then Vayam Shemoa. So what type of question is it? Very good. Vayomer is for both of them. Shema is found in Parshat Berchanan. Vayam Shema is found in Parshat Ekev. And where is... Tzitzis is found in, way back, in the end of? End of Shlach. Actually important, right? Why is it in Shlach, right? Tzitzis is at the end of, by Meraglim. That's at Meraglim. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right, remember, Lototuach Yilvavchim Vachreinechem? Lototuach Aretz, that's the, okay, good. What's the reason? This comes on the Mishnah. Kadesh Yikabel Alav Ol Malchus Shamayim Tchila. But first, you have to accept the yoke of heaven. Yoke doesn't mean, what's a yoke? I've said this many times before. You put a yoke in the back of an animal because what can it do? You put yokes on animals because it distributes their energy evenly across their bodies. They can do much more work. Otherwise, it's a displacement of their power. Their backs are much stronger than their fronts. They would collapse. A yoke displaces the physics behind it and allows them to schlep much more. It uses and maximizes their ability, their horsepower, so to speak. And that's the idea of a yoke. Not something which is a burden, but something which maximizes you. Parkach makabal of all mitzvos. And then you accept the all of mitzvos. Vaya im shamoa. Vaya im shamoa le vayomer. Shivaya im shamoa noheg ben bayom vim balayla. Vaya im shamoa. Regardless, accepting the old mitzvahs day or night. What is that referring to? The mitzvah of tzitzis, which only applies during the day. Interesting. They don't talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but they talk about tzitzis, which is the ikar, clearly, of that paragraph. Okay. We don't have that much time, so we're going to move pretty quickly to finish in the next few minutes. Shramina. Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Is this trying to say that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana is our Mishnah weighing in on a very important and complicated sugya? The Mitzvahs need Kavana. After all, look at the first line. Vayakore, Patora, Vigya, Shman, Amikra, Imkiven, Libo, Yatza. Right? So is our Mishnah talking about the concept of mitzvah kavana? My in Kevin Libo. Ligros. Right? Are we referring to a situation you have kavana to read it? Ligros. Vahaka kari. What are you talking about? If all you do is read it, a guy's reading it. What's he doing? He's, you know, what's he doing? Exactly. What's he engaged in? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi holds Kiven Likros. Avalatseisi de mitzvah lo. Meaning, if a guy's just, you know, reading Chumash, doing Shnei Mikra, right? Avalatseisi de chavah lo ba'inan. Sheye mitkaven elikra b'torah ba'alma. He just reading the Torah stomp, reading to his kid, right? Let me tell you a good story. Let's read Psukim in the Torah, right? Vaya, no. Is that what we're referring to here? No. We're not talking. Do you really need such? You know, the guy's reading. What's the problem? If he's reading, he's reading. Why should it make a difference? If he's reading it to his kid or if he's reading it to read Shnai Mikra? No. What's the chiddush here? Haka, Kareeb. Here the situation is, Kareeb, we're talking about a case of Bekoralagia. No, we're talking about a situation. We're not talking about mitzvahs or kavan. That's not our topic here. Here a person is reading it to make sure there are no mistakes. So I think Tosfos here, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, here Tosfos is actually says, what's he doing? A guy is trying to check the words. You know, he's trying to read the words, make sure that every word's spelled properly. Let's say a guy is checking mezuzahs. So you check a mezuzah, it has Shema in it, right? So he's checking. He's not reading it. He's like glancing it over, making sure that there's the right vavs and the right other letters are there. What? No. So that's the question. But the question is, even saying anything, right? Maybe he's not even saying anything. They're just looking. So in such a situation, in kiven libo, a person who's just checking the parsha to make sure a mezuzah is kosher, he's really going to need to actually say im kiven libo. There are all those who want to argue that, you know, no. When it comes to kiven libo, by Shema will demand a higher level. Meaning, the machlokas of mitzvah kavana is a great machlokas, but everyone agrees that by Shema you need kavana. Do you know why? When it comes to lulav, no human being on a Tuesday morning picks up a lulav, right? It's a stress. So when you're doing it for the mitzvah. When it comes to something that you're reading, that you're saying, could we not doing it for a mitzvah? Could we be doing it for something else? So maybe when it comes to Shema, it requires actual of kavana because it's unclear if you're doing it for a mitzvah or in achanam, you're doing it for. When it comes to an action that you need to do for a mitzvah, it's a shofar. What are you blowing a shofar for on Wednesday morning? Blowing a shofar because you're bored? You're blowing a shofar because it's Rosh Hashanah, you're running for the mitzvah. So then maybe mitzvahs don't need kavana, or maybe that's a machlokas and they need or not. But maybe everyone agrees. When it comes to something like a Shema, which is reading, which isn't, shall we say, which is a mundane action, which you do regularly, that everyone agrees that mitzvah is kavana by Shema, and that appears, as by the way, that's what we hold the halacha, Shema requires kavana. Exactly, what does kavana mean? You don't need, you know, the Ariya Kadosh kavana. What's the kavana? Understand this concept, you're before God, right? Maybe if you understand the Perush Hamilim also is definitely better. Let's continue. Tan Rabbanan. Kriyat Shema Kirtava. You have to say Shema like it is written. Give your Rebbe. Chachamim omrim b'cholashon. Chachamim say any language, French, English. The problem will be, by the way, how are you going to translate the word tatafot? There's certain words which are not very translatable so easily. So in theory, if you could translate it, it would be great. Otherwise, you will run into trouble. So in theory, if you translate every word, maybe you could be, and that's a halacha, by the way. Chachamim say any lashon. Certain words, there's no translations for it, then you're going to run into trouble. But aside from those, in theory, it could be for the mitzvah in any language. My time in the Rebbe. What's the source? Amar kara v'hayu pavayatan yehu. It says v'hayu et v'rmela. V'hayu. And these. Read it the way it is in Ivrit. Rabbanan matayimu. What do they hold? Amar kara shema. V'chol ashon shel ha-shomer. No. Shema Yisrael. You listen in any language. You hearken in any language. What's the difference? Therefore, it's permissible in any language. The Rebbe nami haktiv shema. Rabbi, what are you learning from the word Shema? Ha'umi ba'yalei, the following. Ha'shemi ala ozno, ma'shna ma'tse b'ficha. According to Rabbi, what are you learning from the word Shema? It has to be audible to the ear to fulfill the mitzvah. V'rabbanon, savri lehu, keman. What does the Rabbanon hold? Damar, lo yishmi ala ozno, yatza. According to Rabbanon, it doesn't need to be audible to the ear, just has to be audible. Big difference, right? In theory, I could say it. Everyone agrees you can't look at the words. You can't scan the words. The question is, do you need to be audible to the ear or just audible. But everyone agrees you have to produce a sound. Rabbanu nami ha'ektiv v'hayu. Hahum ebayelu shelo yikra lemafreya. What do they learn from Rabbanon? What do they learn from the words v'hayu? He holds you can't read lemafreya. What does that mean, lemafreya? Out of order. You can't read it out now. What does it mean exactly, out of order, by the way? What's out of order? So, does that mean Parsha? Does that mean Psukim? Does that mean, what exactly does it mean? I believe it's a Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos. Yes, look at Rashi. Mefaresh kegon bisharecha beitecha. According to Rashi, you're reading it mamish backwards. So it says in the Torah, Al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha. You say bisharecha beitecha mezuzot. Tosfa says, what's the havamina to say what? That you're yotze. You're reversing every word? No, you're not yotze. That's garbage. That's gibberish. It's nonsensical. Tosfa says that you what? You flip around the pasuk itself. Is it Tosfa? Maybe it's not Tosfot. Maybe it's not somewhere else. Not Tosfot. I don't know. But what is that? That you flip around the Pesukim. Everyone agrees, by the way, if you flip Shema and Vayim Shema, you're Yotze. Not ideal. So Yotze, you flip around Ol Malchut with Ol Shema, you're Yotze. But if you flip around the Pesukim, or the words, you're not even Yotze. The Rebbe, Shelo Yekara Lemafreya Minale. Where does Rebbe learn that you can't read it Lemafreya? Nafkale Me Divarim. Right? Me Divarim Ha'ela. These things. Ha Divarim. These things, and don't flip them around. Rabbanan dvarim hadvarim lo darshu. No memra lo darshu. The Rabbanan, the fact that it says that dvarim, they're not doyresh anything. It is not so significant. The memra the saver rabbi. Can we really extrapolate from here? The chol atorah kula b'cholasha memra. Can we extrapolate from here? That according to Rabbi, what's the reason why it says vahayu? It says vahayu to teach us that that Shema has to be said in Hebrew. And what about other times we read from the Torah? Are we learning from here that Rebbe holds that you can also what? They don't need to be in Hebrew? I.e. you could read lanes from the Torah during the week in a different language? And you're still Yotze? Others want to argue, no, that it's referring to not Torah during the week. That's not Midoraita. Torah Doraita would be maybe Amalek. A Parshat Zachor, right? Meaning, does it mean from here that only Shema has to be in Hebrew? You might think that it says Vayu, just to teach you that Kriyat Shema requires Ivrit, and everything else doesn't. No, Itzrich, Mishunichtiv, Shema. Because it says Shema, you might think, you might think that what? Only the Torah requires what? Ivrit. Answer is no. Everything requires Lashon HaKodesh. You cannot deduce that it says Vahayu. It's only Shema, according to Rebbe, that requires Ivrit. It's in fact everything. Yeah, Rebbe. Sorry, Rebbe. Shema was the Memra. The Sevar Rabbanan, the Cholat. The Memra, the Sevar Rabbanan, the Cholat Torah, Kula, Boshon HaKodesh, Memra. Do you want to actually say that what? Rabbanan then hold that the entire Torah can be said Lashon HaKodesh and Shema is the exception? Again, the exact reverse of what we said by Rebbe. Right, Nemra? Disagadata b'chol Lashon Nemra Shema dichtiv rachmana lamali itzrich mishun dichtiv v'hayu. So again, each one, you would think, uses their pasuk to mean this and only this, meaning you might think that Rebbe says Vahayu only applies to what? Only needs to be Shema in Hebrew. No! Because of the word Shema, it's trying to teach you that everything always needs to be in Hebrew. You might think that Rabbanan hold that Shema can be in any language, and therefore maybe everything can be in any language. No. It's specific. Just to this. How do we know this? Vahayu. These things, and only these things, can be done in other languages. But do not extrapolate to everything else. Everyone agrees, Machlokas over Shema, Machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan, and that's a very good place to stop at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.